I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hope everybody's doing well today. I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast today. And today we have a guy calling in from Southern California. His name is Bill Phillips. He is a medium. He is a psychic trying to help people in the world. And I want to welcome Bill to the Unimpressed Podcast. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So we touched on a few things earlier and, you know, talked about your lineage and where this comes from. And when did you start feeling this way? And when did you get these signs that there was some type of information flowing through you?
Yeah, you know, for me, this began very young in age, as early as I can recall, actually falling asleep at night and having my own different experiences. Seeing faces with the mouths moving, not knowing what was going on. And what happened was I was told at an early age that my imagination was wild and I had watched, you know, too many scary movies. So that eventually became my programming and my belief for a short period of time. During my childhood, I had a very sort of traumatic childhood as well, being pulled back and forth by my parents, from my mom kidnapping me and taking me to New York at the age of 6, and basically kind of going through my own version of hell at a very young age, actually. So I find that in those times where I had to be very, you know, resilient, what I came into contact with was this force field of light around me. And as a child, I really wasn't sure what to label it as, but I just knew that I was protected by this energy source. And long story short, I was sent back to the West Coast when I was 9 years old. And flash forward 6 years from there, I had not seen my mother for almost 6 years because of her own addiction, you know, that she was going through and her own issues. So I was able to fly back on a red eye and say goodbye to her on her deathbed, actually. And I was 14, almost 15. And a few nights later, I awoke to her in the room with me. And that's really where this sort of activation began with this connection. Then it sort of followed me. And I wasn't seeking it out, but it followed me. I actually was preparing to be an opera singer at the time. Spirit followed me. It followed me. And when I was 18, I found myself in a really interesting situation at a metaphysical shop, taking a 2-hour class basically on mediumship. And, my life was forever changed in that moment because I was shown and validated basically as to what I was receiving was true and real. And so from that point forward, it was a lot of soul searching and a lot of sort of just trusting it more and not doubting that process. So it definitely took years in the making to accept it as a calling. And the rest is history.
Now, when you started to accept this, I mean, what's going through your head? And, you know, did you have any physical signs or anything that was happening to your body or anything?
Absolutely. I found myself having a lot of sleep disturbances was probably one of the primary things. And then also a lot of out-of-body experiences, too. So astral projecting, not really understanding what that was at the time as well. And then really what was going through my head was hearing a lot of sounds, hearing a lot of information. I call it now kind of like the static in my mind. And so what I didn't know back then is that I was in between channels, in between sources at that time. And so, you know, having time on my side to really discern what was going on was really interesting and sort of life-changing for me, knowing that I was more in control of it and that they were not in control over me. But the sensations, though, typically that I felt, especially as an 18-year-old, and I actually wrote about this briefly in my book, I refer to our spiritual network as the spiritual web. And the reason for that is I kept having this experience where I was feeling things on my face, and I had a spider web of energy on my face, and it went on for a few months, actually. Like, I couldn't quite make sense of it until years later. But so there was definitely physical things going on, and since that time it's become more subtle for me over the years. I think that having an awakening like that is always sort of more intense in the beginning until we sort of accept it. And then it kind of goes a little bit more into the background.
How do you use this today?
Years ago now, I was I went to a music conservatory in my 20s, actually. And I was trying to run away from this, because what had happened was, after that faithful night when I was 18 and I had discovered what was going on in my head, I began to practice, with friends. And then those friends told friends. And the word really spread very quickly about this. But I wasn't ready to accept it yet. So I moved to San Francisco, and what I realized is that I could not escape it. It was following me. And really, looking back at it, what was going on is that spirit was orchestrating me to have that experience for two reasons. The first reason was to help give me an understanding of energy and vibration through music and through the vibration of sound. And that was something that really helped me elevate myself. It helped me understand the different levels of energy too, and how sound and vibration can either pull us up or pull us down. So that was a really interesting tool for me that I learned. Also, being in front of large crowds of people too at the time, and not realizing it then, but after I graduated and really understood what was going on, I made the intention with spirit that I wasn't going to go on the streets and find people to read for. Like, I didn't want to be that way. I wanted them to bring people to me if I was supposed to do this. And so what happened was, that happened very quickly, actually. And the word of mouth spread. And now it's basically my life's work and my life's mission is to help people this way, to either give them guidance from spirit, to validate, who's around them in spirit. And it's my life's calling at this point.
Interesting. Well, I have a very similar type of thing. Very similar. But I didn't tap into it till later. I've always had the intuition. And then I realized I was a clairsentient. And then the energy thing, heavy energy coming out of my hands, mm-hmm. my right hand, very heavy energy coming out of my right hands. Then I found out both sides of my brain work simultaneously. And yeah, it's very, very interesting. It's, the fact you were younger and it came to light is very interesting to me, because I think I might have tried to cover it up with drinking or whatever. Because I think when you have high sensitivities, you don't know what that is, or you don't know what's going on. And a lot of people, because of the narrative in Western society, a lot of people are lost to even go that direction or even think, this is why I have high sensitivities. Did you ever think anything like that, or? Hey, I got these high sensitivities.
Well, I think what I saw was I saw my parents go through this struggle on their own of this escapism, and so as a young child witnessing that and then going through a lot of sort of traumatic events early in my life, I really do believe that when we have that sort of awakening where we are breaking the paradigm of the physical world or the societal structures, and then what's true and real to us, which is divine. It usually comes from some sort of heartbreak, or something that really shifts your perspective. So for some people, it might be the death of a loved one. It might be something where they were in a severe car accident, they almost died, and they had this sort of awakening there as well. The good news about all of this with my family is that it didn't get passed down to me as far as the escapism part of it was concerned. I feel like my mom, who's in spirit, was very very adamant about me sort of living in a clear state of being, because for me, that's how I'm able to be of service to other people, is to be that way. But on the same token, though, being sensitive, you know, being connected, being an empath, which I believe so many people are experiencing right now as well in the world, it can feel like you're crazy at times. You know, it can feel like what you're going through, nobody else understands. It could feel very isolating. But it's once you accept it, and once you really start to give your energy towards it and your beliefs towards it as well, it takes on a world of its own. And there's this whole self-discovery that we sort of go down by just trusting the invisible world and trusting the guidance that we're receiving from our higher selves, from our intuitive selves, you know.
Now, your parents, you said they, which side of your family, when your mom and dad had this touch of
my, and so forth? Definitely heard a lot of stories on my dad's side of the family, actually. Yes.
And he was... from where? Where's he originally from?
He was from the Midwest, so Chicago area.
Chicago. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's the German side, or?
This is going to be the French and also, sorry, English side as well, would also be on my dad's side. My mom was basically mostly German. So, I am now for French, German, and some English.
And where was your dad's parents? Where were they from originally?
You know, that is a great question. I should probably know this, but I don't. I want to say East. So, for some reason, I feel like saying it's England or somewhere back in that part of the world.
Because I see your family is like clergymen or something.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I don't know. That's what I see. Like you're okay. Clergymen. Very strong bloodline. Can't figure out the bloodline quite yet, but I think there's definitely a clergyman perspective there for some reason. That had a lot of authority, if you will, in some place or another. A very quiet, like a very passive authority in the religious space for some reason. So I don't know. Maybe that's just what I see. Because sometimes I see people in twos. I see their inner child. Mm-hmm. And then... you know, and then I can see what's around the inner child. And obviously you're very, very clear. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of dysfunction or contrast there, but I don't know. That's and sometimes what I see too is times 10 compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
So like vibrations and everything are times 10. And one thing I thought of is I had a realization, and I don't know if you've had this realization too, is the thought process coming from a creator's mindset. And when I say a creator's mindset, you know, a lot of people, I think that's why a lot of people don't understand, because I reverse engineer everything that's done traditionally compared to a discovery mindset. Do you feel like you're coming from a creator's mindset, if you will?
I feel like I'm coming from a divine mindset. Yes. Personally, I try not to rationalize that too much, because I'm a Virgo, so I'm already very, critical as it is with my thought process. So when I am in that space and when I'm channeling, it's one of those things where I am trying my best to get out of the rational ego part of myself, because that's what's always going to want to make you question, you know, or doubt, or it has a way of sort of wanting to interfere with what's true and natural, right? So when I'm in that space, and I firmly believe too that we're all designed to live in that space as well, you know, whether it's intuiting information, getting these downloads, not really sure what to do with it, but we all have access to that space. And so I would refer to that probably as, you know, if you want to say God's mind, that's beautiful, but also maybe a divine mindset too is great.
Well, I understand what you're saying about divine mindset, but when I say create, I guess when I say creator's mindset, it's how things are structured, how things are built. You know, so I know I'm a pathway for information. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about information, it's more about, all right, foundation, you know, tone, timing, you know, it's all these certain words like environment, foundation, sensitivities. That's kind of how my mindset, I guess, comes from, like unearthing anything. Does that make any sense?
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
Because the reason I say this mm-hmm. is, you know, I've talked to a lot of intellects. Like Avi Loeb, who's head of astronomy at Harvard, and I always use him as an example, and different intellects around the world. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is a lot of these intellects, and to some extent, they have blinders on within their own environment, and they mm-hmm. don't look at how things can connect to other things. They're looking at what they can discover within their space.
Yes, that this is exactly what I'm referring to with the, you know, having these two spheres of consciousness, you know, the left and the right brain. And when we operate from the left brain, it definitely has its benefits, especially with someone in that genre who is going from that mindset. But it also can be a little bit limiting as well, because it's only allowing you to see things from a mindset of view, you know, or from a physical standpoint. But when you're able to find more of a balance with it and maybe quiet down that ego space, that space that wants to question everything, you know, and you're letting mm-hmm. information flow through you from a different source, then I feel like it's one of those things that becomes unlimited in potential. And there's so much energy and information available when we enter that space, actually, within ourselves. But it's something that our human mind or our rational mind isn't going to completely understand, which is the reason why for many people, when they're having, you know, these either maybe downloads or they're sensing spirit around them, what happens is that a sort of fear creeps in, or something else pops in that tells them, well, that's foreign. That's not what I'm used to experiencing. So the rational mind has a way of trying to like make sense of it all, right? And it tries to shut it out. What I feel like now though is that as the world is changing and as we are evolving, people are sort of understanding more and more about how this works, and they have a deep yearning for wanting to learn more about how to maybe spend more time in that space within their intuitive mind or within their right side of their brain, so that they're able to understand where they come from and their connection to it all.
And with this book that mm-hmm. you wrote, what was your agenda and goal with the book?
My agenda and goal with the book was to basically help people understand their own connection, their own personal power to their energy source, and how that energy source affects their physical lives as well. So when we take the time to go within, to go into that place that's non-rational, and to build this dialogue, you know, with our higher self, with our intuitive self, what happens is that we start to see the synchronicities around us. We start to see things in a different light, and we start to notice themes of things around us too. I actually wrote more about this in my second book, about the different signs that spirit sends to us. But I wanted people to have a guidebook to basically go within to understand their own personal power and how that personal power dictates their world around them. And basically to know that they are in essence co-creating their world by what they're experiencing on their inner world or with that invisible world. And everything with that goes back to our own language with ourselves. So how we're speaking to ourselves, how we're operating from within, because most of the time when we're here in this physical experience, we are operating from that place within. You know, that's where we are living in. So if we have more of an opportunity to understand and to give it more power and to give more of our beliefs there, then there could be a lot of life-altering events that happen that basically attracts us and pulls us to people that are of the same mindset as well.
Interesting. What do you feel from me?
Well, you definitely are the forever student. That's something that I pick up on right away with you. You know, this probably goes back eons. And definitely, you know, something about you taking the leap and really letting people know about your own gifts and about maybe writing about them and showing people your own experiences too. So you're probably in this sort of threshold right now of wanting to go further with it or maybe even more public with it as well. And I think that's where, you know, besides yourself, a lot of people are really kind of having that curiosity right now themselves too.
I developed this thing called finding a perfect audience, and it can birth or rebirth anything. And it comes from that creator's type of mindset, and it's mathematically driven. And then I tied into the creation of force, which is mathematically driven. And I don't want to go too deep on that because that's something I'm trying to flush out. But everything is mathematically, from the universe down, everything is mathematically tied together.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Other in four by four. And I think that's the mistake. I don't know where this information is coming from. And I think that's the mistake that we're sitting at right now of how we view the universe. I don't know fully the answer, but if you think about fours, everything was created in fours linearly because God wanted things to be symbiotic as one from the universe to the human being. What do you think about tying stuff together that's mathematical that comes from this thought process?
You know, that is a great, great way of looking at it. I know that when the other side is communicating with us, a lot of times they will use different themes of numbers. So as an example, it's funny that you say fours. I happen to see fours daily around me in very unusual ways where my phone will light up, for example, at 4:44. I'll be driving home from my office, and lo and behold, our car will get in front of me, 4:44. You know, so I believe that if somebody uses their free will and their desire to communicate in the world around them with numbers, then they're going to attract that sequence back to them. It's like, it's just the law, basically, right? So, but going deeper into it, I'm no mathematician, so I can't speak on every level of this, but I know that we live in this sort of matrix, you know, and we live in this universe with so many parallel worlds happening simultaneously. And I feel like as a soul inhabiting this physical experience, we're sort of weaving through these worlds, you know, intermittently, and not always realizing it. You know, whether it be going into this sort of daydream space, and we're like, where am I? Why am I thinking of this person that I've never met before? Or maybe it's having a dream as well, where there's someone there that just you have no idea who they are, but they keep popping up for you too. I think part of that is the fact that we are existing in multiple worlds simultaneously.
And what do you think about when you think about vibrations? And I'll touch on a little bit of this vibration talk. Is when you, I went to Curacao, and I've said this story a couple of times. I went to Curacao Island, and when I looked at the foundation of this place, I realized that the minerals there are very, very dense. And the ABC Islands are 30 miles outside Venezuela. And there's no hurricanes ever around these islands. There's no predators on these islands. There's no predators around these islands. There's no shark attacks or anything like that. So when I started thinking about that, I said this density creates a vibration that is repelling predators. And I started thinking about it. I said, if this is the densest minerals in the world, then everything outside of that is less dense, which creates a different vibration. Mm-hmm. So when you understand the vibration to create your environment, because I think environment is a big deal that nobody really taps into. Mm-hmm. So and you let's lay the four elements on top of that, going back to four, there's four elements that creates another layer of vibration. And then you add the human being, you know, they say there were four human beings created in Book of Gates, which is four different types of human beings that were created. And nobody ever talks about the Book of Gates. So you add the human being to this three-part scenario, and this is a very limited scenario. And if you didn't include emotion in this scenario with the vibrations of the minerals, the vibrations of the elements, and the vibrations of the four bloodlines, you could predict those four bloodlines. So when you throw in emotion, this is your unconscious bias and the decisions that you're making based on how you are programmed through your subconscious as a kid. So understanding how environment affects you, understanding the level of vibrations and how that affects our lives. If you think about the power of the mind, if we perpetuated our minds for the past 1,000 years that we could live to be 250 years old, we could probably live to be 250 years old. Vibrations is how you equivalent time, right? And the more vibrations we create, the more it speeds up time. So okay, if you think about how old this place is, it's probably way older than we anticipate. Mm-hmm. And people probably lived a lot longer back in the day. Why has nobody ever tapped into that, understanding vibrations and times, you know, and what it's doing to society now?
You know, I believe that there are people probably that are tapping into that energy source. Maybe it'll become more public as we ascend as a society and as an earth. But it's interesting that you say that as well, because what I call it actually is I refer to it as my orbit, and how we all have our own orbit that we're responsible for. And whatever we're feeding energetically into our orbit is attracting those same scenarios or those same experiences. And this all does go back to childhood. This is another reason why I wrote this latest book too, was to show everyone that we came into this world very vulnerable, very open, very psychic, very connected. And what happened was there was a programming that was given to us, you know, as children, probably between the ages of 4 to 7 in that range, give or take a couple of years, and when we're most impressionable. And those commands that we're given and that programming becomes our belief system, and it becomes what we put our energy forth, because that's what we've believed to be true. But what I know to be true though is that as we keep growing and evolving, and there's a certain point when we start to realize that there's another narrative going on that is our soul speaking to us, or our higher self speaking to us. And it goes against that programming. It goes against what we were taught as children. You know, with my example was the imaginary friends, which I'm sure many people have had that experience as well. And so when we talk about an awakening or this shift of energy vibration too, we're also talking about having the awareness, having the physical awareness, and having the energetic awareness to understand what's ours and what's not ours. And then with that standpoint, having the empowerment to be able to program ourselves in the way that we want to be programmed, and what we want to believe, and what we want to experience. So I believe that every soul that comes here goes through this journey and goes through this lesson plan, maybe at different times in their lives, but we're here for that reason. We're basically here to learn how we're connected to it, how we're connected to it all.
Well, now your book is basically talking about kids who lose somewhat of their creativity at a certain age, and I think that's due to schooling. I mean, I think your message is great, and I understand there's elements of this I've talked about as well in kids and entering school and how they lose their imagination when they enter school because the school system is structured the wrong way. And I'll run this scenario, and this is a scenario I've talked about of people don't understand anything about their subconscious. And obviously you have traits of that subconscious, just as I spoke about the human beings, when they were putting that scenario, you take away emotion, you can predict those four bloodlines of where they're going. And a lot of people don't realize their subconscious is being programmed as a young person. And then we get to a certain point in life, we start responding to, you know, to certain things through your unconscious bias. And we just do this naturally. So the heavier your subconscious is programmed in the thickness of those vibrations, and we're creating more vibrations, that makes it, the more vibrations we're creating in society and the people don't understand that, it makes us harder to get to consciousness because there's a lot of thickness here. And these things are not being addressed. So I'm hoping your book can open that thought process up, because that's, I mean, that's dead on a narrative that needs to be talked about.
Thank you for saying that. That is a major validation and reason as well, to just educate people too, that we're not all built the same way, in the sense of, you know, we don't all learn the same way, you know, we don't all speak the same way. We're all very unique to ourselves too. And so when we realize, and I think that actually the past 3 years and what we've experienced together as a collective as well has shown us the importance of what's true and real to us, you know, and also shows us as well that time and space are really an illusion around us. You know, we try our best to live our lives with calendars and clocks and things like that, but doesn't always line up. And the reason for that is, you know, we're not supposed to live our lives in this linear way where we're going from event to event. We're supposed to be experiencing it in the presence of the moment, you know, and from that standpoint, that's where our creation power comes from. And that's also where our awareness comes from too. We can't access that awareness in the past or in the potential of the future. So this brings me back to, you know, a lot of times when I'm channeling for other people too, and there's snapshots that are coming through then that may have no connection to them in the moment, but it does maybe 3 months later, 9 months later, things like that too, based upon free will. You know, it all goes back to having that free will and having that power to choose. You know, and this was something for me that took a lot of trust when I was 18 and, you know, opening myself up. And just as an example, it's reminding me, one of my very first readings that I gave was to a woman, and her mother came through right away. And there was something that she wanted me to share with her that she just could not wrap her head around. It was the fact that she was saying that she was sending her long lost love back to her. And she goes, "That's impossible. It's been like a decade, you know," and there was all of this rationale behind it. So it meant nothing to her then. But the next day I received a phone call from her, and she was hysterical and she was emotional. And she had explained to me that when she got home that night, on her answering machine was a voicemail from that person from so many years ago. And so this really does sort of illustrate how this world works and how receiving information works too, because it's not really in accordance with what our rational self thinks it should be, you know, which is today, tomorrow, yesterday. It's something that's really spontaneous. And when we have that connection with these synchronicities around us, I think it also shows us as well that we're not living in a world dictated by time and space. We are just really living more in this sort of, if you will, holographic type of space and universe, where what we're experiencing, we're projecting, and that's the reality of our experience.
Interesting. What we're living, we're projecting. Mm-hmm. And where are we headed after this?
That's also free choice as well, you know. But once we leave this physical shell behind, we go back home. We go back to to where we came from, this source energy, right? Which you can call the other side. Some might call it heaven. Some might call it the spirit world. You know, there's so many different labels. And one thing that I am big about is removing labels from things, because I find that labeling things can sometimes interfere with someone's belief system, or it might cause confusion within themselves that goes back to their childhood about, well, wait a second, I was taught that, you know, in Bible class, heaven was in hell, there's all these kind of concepts behind it. So I know for sure that when we leave this physical world behind, we enter the world again that we came from. And from that perspective, we're able to do what we want to do, whether it be traveling, whether it be helping the living or having an agenda to help the souls that are here as well, whether it be, you know, getting really woo-woo and out there too, just for a moment, and talking about travel that's outside of what we known to be, you know, our solar system. In our maybe universe, there's so much that physically we haven't experienced yet, but our souls are experiencing right now. And I think that's also a reason why people may have so much confusion about the world that they're living in too, because they are going to sleep at night, having a different, completely different experience, coming back into this physical experience and not really sure what to do with it. So putting on top of that as well, having to live by society standards as well, and, you know, go to school and get married and all of these trails that were sort of designed to live a part of too, can also be very confusing. And that could also cause people to doubt what they're experiencing in their own inner world, in their own inner sanctuary. So my hope for people, just regardless if they find it through my writing or someone else's, is to just to know that you definitely have the power to live the life that you chose to live. And it may not make sense to anybody else around you. And that's okay. It's a matter of listening to your soul, listening to your higher self, and then creating that world around you.
Well, I came up with this thing, and I think a lot of people don't realize too. I came up with this ideology of, you know, we feed off what we see. And I think if we feed off what we see, we're not growing. And, you know, and you talked about categories. I mean, Bruce Lee said, you know, if you create a style, or you create a topic, you crystallize growth, which I believe in that 100% as well. You know, feeding off what you see means you have no value for yourself. And I think if you can put your own narrative out front and create a new environment for yourself, then you can eliminate opinions. You can eliminate controversy, because when you feed, going back to when you feed off what you see, you create more opinions and you create more controversy. And I think there's Absolutely. A big step in that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I also really do feel as well that the truth is something that you can feel on a soul level as well, you know, so it's something that may completely dictate what's, you know, being shown to you otherwise or within your peripheral. But the truth has a way of permeating your energy source, you know, and it's something that's unshakable, actually. So I absolutely agree with that. And I feel that it's really important right now at this time in our society and in our legacy, that we're able to understand, to trust what we are experiencing as our own truth, right? That's super yeah. important right now.
Trust in yourself.
Yeah.
We're trusting in other, too many other people.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. which is, you know, nobody else has control over yourself but you. And I don't know why we feed that energy as a society so much. I mean, we're so deep in that side with everything. That part I don't get.
You know, and I think that too, each of us has come here to learn different lessons as well about our unique connection to ourselves, to humanity, to the universe. And we're all experiencing similar themes of lessons about, you know, loving, forgiving, grieving. You know, those things are what connect us all on the same level. But I also believe too that it's something where when we're able to go within, when we're able to really have an intention, that intention is something that is very underutilized, I believe. It's something that we all have access to. We're all doing unconsciously throughout the day. But when we have an awareness of how to direct our energy towards the intention of what we're wanting to experience, then that's where we're creating the energy of our orbit, or we're creating the energy around us. And that's also super powerful too, and empowering for somebody to have that information that, yes, even though it sounds too easy to be true, it is too easy. And that is exactly how we're designed. When we go into that place, that space within ourselves, that imaginary place within that we really thrived as a child, that's the breeding ground for our connection to spirit. That's our breeding ground with our connection to the universe. It's also our breeding ground as well to understand how we are connected energetically to it all.
I like that. I think that's where you reset humanity, starting with the kids and understanding that thought process you wrote about in this book. So if we want to find the book, where do we get the book and so forth?
Yeah, so Soul Searching is available anywhere where books are sold. You can get it from Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or just by going to my website as well.
And your website is
BillPhillips.com. It's 1L2Ps, or you will have someone entirely different in your search.
I mean, I think we had a pretty easy conversation. You're very easy to talk to.
Well, thank you. More than anything, I feel like we covered a lot in this beautiful way too, but just having people go to the side of themselves that is imaginative and is open and is experiencing that energy around them and not really sure what to make of it. You're not alone in the world. You're not, you might feel right now isolated, but there's a bigger picture around this that's about to reveal itself to you. So keep searching, keep soul searching, and keep trusting the process.
Well, appreciate you coming on the show, Bill. And my name is John Edmonds Cosma. I'm the CEO of Bang Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.